God bless your man this morning. For the reading of the Word of God, please. You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Galatians and chapter number 5. The book of Galatians and chapter number 5 in the Word of God. And we'll try to read a few scriptures and bring the thought that God has laid on our heart for this morning hour. Galatians in chapter number 5. And I want to begin reading in verse number 16 of Galatians chapter number 5. Of course, this is Paul writing to the church of Galatia, a church that he organized himself and preached at. And he says in verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He says this because of what he's already spoken. I may mention some of those things, but not many of them during the message this morning. In verse 17, he said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for the service today, for the good attendance we have, the good number of people you've sent our way. We're grateful and thankful, Lord, for the privilege that's still ours to assemble in a place with liberty and freedom to worship you and to preach the Word of God, a place where we can bring our families in fellowship with one another and enjoy your richest and abiding blessings upon us, to hear the gospel of Christ, to hear the good news of how Jesus died to save sinners. I want to thank you, Lord, for that wonderful day when you came to where I was when I could not get to you and lifted me out of the muck and the mire of sin and bathed me in your own precious blood, regenerated me, and made me a child of God. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach this morning. I pray you'll bless every heart that's here, every home, and those, Lord, that are even listening by the radio. Give them the grace, the divine help that they need, the ones that are sick at home, as well as here in the house of God. I ask you to touch them and help them and bless them as only Christ can. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to mention, too, Mrs. Simpson has this chest infection or cough, whatever it is everybody's been having. And so we want to remember her in our prayers as well. You know, sometimes I forget I'm not as young as I used to be. And I forget from time to time. But not very often, you know. I don't forget too often, not over 10, 12, 15 times a day. I lose my glasses. I'm saying this because I really didn't need people to hear me, Brother. No. I probably lose my glasses more than anything. No, I lose my keys, and Miss Hall loses her glasses.
And I'll tell you, we have a time. Generally, I find her glasses and she finds my keys. It's like Jack Spratt and his wife. Jack Spratt could eat no Jack Spratt could eat no fat, and his wife could eat no wings. And both together, they licked the platter clean. Amen. That's kind of the way Mrs. Hall and I are. All right, I'm going to take this passage today, and I'm not going to preach on each one of these sins of the flesh, the works of the flesh. If I did, we'd be here a long time. And already I've started out what is going to be one message. I've already wrote it down to two. It's probably going to be wind up being four. And so, because I don't want to tarry and keep any longer than is necessary this morning and tonight on saying what I have to say. But I want to preach today for a little while on the thought of the constant battle. I really believe that you and I, as God's children, we're in a battle, and that battle will never cease until the day that this flesh yields itself to glory. And there is coming a day when we shall be glorified in the presence of our God. Now, I've said almost all of my Christian life, I believe I can safely say it without any contradiction, that the greatest enemy that man has is himself. We can look at the devil and blame everything that we want to onto him, or we can cast our eyes out on society and look at the world and want to accuse them and make them take the blame for everything that we commit that is wrong or evil or sinful. But the fact of the matter is, the problem lies within the heart of man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and there's no man that can know it. The Bible said the Lord can know it, but there is no man that can know the heart. And so our greatest enemy, no doubt, is ourselves. I am my greatest enemy. I look at my biggest enemy every day when I look in the mirror. And I must say, some days when I look into it, I really don't like what I see, and I'll not tell you the reason why. Sometimes I ain't got my teeth in, amen. I certainly don't like to look at myself then. But, I see that fella every day that is a great enemy in my life. If he's left alone, if that man is left alone, he will soon destroy his life and be overcome by the depths of his own depravity. I believe we can see that in the life of Adam. Adam sinned and plunged the world into the depths of depravity. And I say without any contradiction, any worry, fret of this whatsoever, that if God was to leave you and I alone, we'd follow in those same steps that Adam followed in and would plunge ourselves into the depths of depravity. And even after being regenerated, I'm talking about after being saved, the battle between the flesh and the spirit will continue to rage on within man. But thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. The spirit can and the spirit will give victory over this sin, that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I'll probably say this again, but lest I don't get to it, I want to say it right now. In verse 17, in the last part of that, Paul talks about the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They being contrary one to another. Then he makes this statement that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, there's a whole lot of people there that's got the idea that they can sin and live any way they want to because they cannot do the right thing. Well, that's looking at this in contrary to what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching here that because the Spirit lusts against the flesh, that we cannot do the things that we would. In other words, the Spirit of God is going to help us in our battle against the flesh. And he'll see to it that we cannot get by continuing in sin. He'll put a stop to that. One way or the other, the Spirit of God will put a stop to that. Now, I want to simply begin today by looking very quickly at the contrast that I see between the flesh and between the spirit of man. The Bible said in verse 19, or according to verse 19, it refers to the manifestation of the flesh as being works. It talks about the works of the flesh. Now, if I understand that the way I think, and I believe I do understand it correctly, that these evil works of the flesh are brought on by the effort and the labors of oneself, apart from any help from anybody else. I say this without being corrected, that there was no one there but Eve and the devil. And she sinned against the Lord. And there's no question about that. And so this sins of the flesh are brought on by the effort and the labors of oneself, and apart from any help from anybody else. You know, it doesn't take anybody else to assist me in sinning, because sin, it comes within a man's heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, somebody said, well, in order to be a drunk, you've got to go out and stay drunk all the time. Well, I'm not so sure about that. If that thought lingers in a man's heart, lays in a man's heart, stays in a man's heart, and all he's ever got on his heart is drinking liquor, that man in his heart is a drunkard. If a man in his mind or his heart thinks about adultery over and over and over again, that man is an adulterer in his heart without ever committing the act. Does not the Lord Himself say that? Concerning adultery, if a man looketh upon a woman and lusteth after that woman, he has committed adultery already with that woman in his heart. So, you know, we need to learn that sin is not necessarily in the act, but it's in the heart. And if we're not careful, the manifestations of the flesh, that is, the thoughts of the heart, will soon become action. And when it becomes, when those thoughts get active within us, then it's great trouble for you and I. So these evil works of flesh are brought on by the effort and labors of oneself apart from the help of anybody else. Now, in verse number 22, though, the Bible speaks there about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this fruit of the Spirit is a product. Or I might even say the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about fruit being produce. I might even say that the fruit of the Spirit is a product, but it's also, I could say, that it is a produce of the Christian life, or a product of the Christian life as we are led and walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in verse number 16 that the works of the flesh are met, or brother, in verse number 16, that this I say then, that we are to walk in the Spirit. And in doing so, we will not fulfill, there it is, the lust of the flesh. It does not mean they won't be there, but we will not fulfill them because we are walking in the Spirit. And I tell you, the time that we learn that we're not in this battle alone. I'm glad, thank God, and I'll get to this later on tonight in the message, but I'm glad that there is a person that dwells on the inside that is fighting our battles for us. When Israel made their departure from Egypt, Moses told them, said, the Lord, from this day on, the Lord will fight your battles for you. Now, I'm going to say, we get in trouble when we try to fight ourselves, when we try to engage in that conflict ourselves, apart from the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. But I'm glad the Bible said that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, although these sins are dwell in our members, there is also one that is contrary to all of that. And that is the Spirit of God that is also producing the fruit of the Spirit that's contrary or stands in contrast to the manifestation of the works of the flesh. And that Spirit can and will give you and I the victory for the glory of God. Now I want you to listen carefully what I'm getting ready to say. The only requirement that is made of a Christian is that we cease from ourselves and yield to the power of the Spirit of God. We are then said to have ceased from ourselves, from our own labors, and we're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our biggest problem is that rather than yield to the Spirit of God, I believe we really resist the Spirit more than we yield to the Spirit. If we will yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, He will continue to work in our life. Those sins are in the flesh, but they don't have to be manifest in the flesh. The Bible said that the works of the flesh are these. And then it talks about those works being made manifest. Those works being made, that is, in other words, they're out there. They're where people can see them. A drunkard, I'm telling you, a drunk walking down the street drunk, people can recognize readily that man is drunk. If a man continues to be a whoremonger, it's not difficult to tell that he's a whoremonger. If a man is a thief, or if a man is a gambler, or his sins that are not even mentioned here, these sins can be made manifest in that man's life. But I'm glad as we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost of God, that He suppresses these sins within the heart and gives us the grace and the ability to overcome those sins and walk in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God, amen, with God's grace and mercy upon us, and there is victory for you and I to be had. Oh, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We sang that song, Victory in Jesus, and I want you to know there is. There is victory in the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about that. And what we need to do is just rest in Him. Did He not say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. What are we laboring against? Sin. S-I-N, sin. That sin is within ourselves. And we're fighting against that sin. But I'm telling you, we can come to Christ and just rest in Him. I mean, just lay back in your easy chair and get in that green recliner, hallelujah, and let the Lord fight your battles for you. And I guarantee if you'll do that, you'll find yourself in less fatigue. You'll find yourself spiritually stronger. You'll find yourself, if I can say it, less drained. I'm going to say, we had to fight every spiritual battle there is alone. We'd constantly stay spiritually drained. God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to live in the joy of the Lord. That's right. God wants us to live with grace in our hearts and the joy of the Lord, rejoicing in what God has done for us, and then just rest in the finished work to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll get to that in just a moment. You stay right with me. Now, He says in verse 19 and 21, says in verse number 19, first of all, that He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And I counted those. I believe in Bible numerology. And at first glance at those, you think, well, somebody's made a mistake. Because you know how many of them there are? There are 17 of them. There are 17 of them. And would you believe the number 17 is a number of perfection? It is a number of spiritual order. That's right. Spiritual perfection and spiritual order. Somebody said, well, how can all those sins be spiritual perfection? They're not. The fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit has been given us to perfect victory over these sins. And He can and He will do that. That's right. That's where the perfection comes in. It's not in the fact that sin is perfect, not any stretch of the matter. But it is a finality. These are all conclusive of sins that man commits. They can be grouped into these groupings. But the Holy Ghost, our Comforter, one called alongside of us, is there to help us defeat our enemy and overcome. Now, I'm not talking about defeating the devil, ladies and gentlemen. I've got news for you. His head was bruised on the cross. He was defeated at Calvary. The devil is already a defeated foe. Spiritually, we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our problem today is not with the devil. We blame a whole lot on the devil that the devil's not doing. The problem lies within our own flesh and our own members, and it's a thing called sin. But I'm glad, thank God, that there's one dwelling on the inside of us, the Holy Ghost, one called alongside that is fighting our battles for us. Hey, He is able to help us in our infirmities. I don't know anybody in here today that's got the spiritual power to whip the flesh. You can't do it. But I'm going to tell you who can. That Spirit of God can. Now notice with me carefully. In verses 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now there's your contrast. The works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. Two different things. The flesh is evil. The flesh is sinful. Somebody said, well, but one of these days it's not going to be. There's coming a day when this sinful flesh is going to be made perfect. Oh, yes. There's a perfect man on the inside. But one of these days that perfect man on the inside is going to crawl on the outside. There's going to be a perfect man living on the outside. You can mark that down. There's coming a day when God will redeem this body of clay and perfect this body of clay just like Himself. And we're going to have a body just exactly like His, without sin, pure and holy, and righteous altogether. And it'll be done because the work of the Spirit has been finally brought to a state of perfection in your life and in my life as well. Now, verse number 22 and 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the number of these fruits are nine. That also gives reference to finality, to completion, and to judgment. Nine gives reference to these things. And there are several things that I can mention. But I want to say that it was at 9 o'clock in the morning that Christ was nailed to the cross. 9 o'clock in the morning. It was also the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that He dismissed His Spirit. These are things of finality. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's finality. In other words, there's nothing more that can be done than that has been done. When Christ gave His life on the cross, it was a final act of God's authority for man. And in that final act that God did, He defeated our enemy once and for all for us. It's a final thing. There's nothing else can be done on the inside. Whoa. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I've not arrived yet. Well, no, none of us have arrived. But I'm telling you what I'm simply saying is, there's nothing else. If the Spirit of God can't help us, well, there's nothing that can help us. Well, now there'd be those that tell you that you got to have a second blessing. Our Nazarene Christian brothers and sisters, they believe in having that second blessing. Now, they call being filled with the Spirit a second blessing. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if I'd only all I'd had was two, I'd be ashamed of myself. Amen. I've had a whole lot more than two blessings. Amen. Damn, but then our Pentecostal friends, they want to tell you that you got to speak in tongues and then be filled with the Spirit, and then that's another work that's been done. Well, it may be a work of grace being filled with the Spirit, but the Spirit is already there. Right. Amen. Amen. And He's working these nine different virtues or graces within our heart. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Then Paul said, hey, and then these, what's it, the final word it says there? Against such there is no law. In other words, there is no condemnation in that work that the Spirit of God does within our heart and your and my heart. But we're in this constant battle. And there's a contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. And they're contrary one to another. And I want to say to you that that conflict is ongoing. If you think that it's going to stop tomorrow, you're crazy. You know what happened to a lot of Baptists? They get settled in on their lees. They think that they've arrived. They've made it. They don't have nothing to worry about anymore. I'm saved. There's Baptists that believe that. Once saved, always saved. I can live any way I want to live because I'm saved. I'm going to show you in just a minute that's not what the Bible's saying at all. That's not what it means at all. There's a lot of people who want to get that. Hey, just live any way they want to live. But I'm going to tell you, it don't work that way. That conflict is continually going. For the Bible said in verse 17, and these are contrary one to the other. Now I want to ask you something. Is anybody in here this morning you believe you're any more spiritual than Paul? I don't know anybody. I know I'm not. And I dare to say you're not either. Nobody listening by the radio has the power of God on their life any more than Paul had. Or is any more spiritual in their life than Paul had. God took him out on the backside of the desert and revealed to him the doctrines of the church and gave him grace to write the Christian church epistles that we enjoy today. This being one, Galatians being one of them. Aren't anybody today any more spiritual than Paul? Do you know what Paul said when he came to die? I have fought a good fight. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you don't fight one round. This is not even a 10-round match. This is not even a heavyweight battle where we're fighting 15 rounds. I'm telling you, this is a fight unto death. That's right. You got, there is going to be a battle raging until death comes. That's why that Bible goes on to say in verse number 24 there, and they that are Christ have crucified the lust, the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, they've been crucified. Those affections and lust, as far as God is concerned in our life, are dead. They've been crucified with Christ. Paul, in writing 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9 and verses 26 and 27, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, I wonder how many Baptists are doing that today. Friend, I'm going to tell you, what I see going on in America today is a simple, come on now, whether saved or lost, people have literally unleashed their flesh. And the flesh is devouring all sin that it possibly can. We're in a mess in America. That's right. It's time that we as God's people woke up and realized that we're in a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I've criticized the government and politicians and everybody you can think of. But hey, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Come on in the house. Come on now. And I'm telling you what's going on. The flesh in America has been unleashed, folks. God help us. I saw the headlines on the internet yesterday where it said three states have filed a lawsuit against this anti-gay marriage act. They don't... States don't want, they say it's all right for these sodomites to marry one another. I'm going to tell you that is nothing more than a manifestation of the sinful flesh of man. That's right. Partying, drunkenness, reveling, fornication, adultery. That's nothing more than a manifestation of the flesh. Now I'm telling you, it's been unleashed today. I don't see much of Hollywood sometimes on a TV screen somewhere in a foyer somewhere in a hallway. But I'm telling you, I've never seen man's imagination running as wild as what I'm seeing it today. And it's because their flesh is conjuring this mess up. You know, I was sitting up there getting breakfast the other morning, and it showed some fella jumping out of a car. He had blood. I don't know what it was doing. Had blood all over him. He started walking toward this man. This man started saying, "No, stay back, stay back." Well, this guy with the blood all over him finally pounced on this man. And when he pounced on this man, the man that got pounced on, all of a sudden, big needles started sticking up out of that man's hand. I thought, great day in the morning. Who in the world could dream up such a mess as that? It's got to come. That's right. And we can laugh about it. But I'm telling you what it is. It is no more than the sins of the flesh being manifest in the imaginations of man's heart that is evil continually, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'll tell you, the problem in our churches is that God's people have unleashed their spirit almost as bad. And was it not for the Spirit of the living God living within us, our flesh would destroy us as theirs is destroying them. Boy, I'll tell you, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. I've never in my life seen so much nakedness. Sat down at, Miss Ruth took us to lunch the other day at Ponderosa. And you know, when people are sitting right beside you, you look through around you. I do. I want to know. I've got that itch about me. I don't trust people too close. You know what I'm saying? I like my back against a wall. And we're sitting there, and there's two elderly ladies there. No, I'm not going to say two elderly. There's two old women. I mean, brother, hey, one of them sitting there, I thought, God, have mercy. Does that way, she must have been 85 years old. Does she not have better sense than to believe that there's, well, there may be some old geezers that would want to gaze upon what she's trying to flaunt in that place? Hey, come on now, I'm just trying to be honest without being vulgar and ornery. But I'm just telling this, hey, this is manifestations of the flesh.
Yes.
Hey, and people are going wild over it today. And what bothers me is those that are going wild over it on Saturday are sitting in the house of God on Sunday claiming to be saved by the grace of God, but they have no control over themselves. There is absolutely no control over the flesh, and the reason there's not, there is nobody at home. On the inside.
Amen.
That's right. Read down through these. If you think they paint a pretty picture, pick up your pencil and start drawing them. I don't think they show much of a pretty picture to me. I think about Samson and the Philistines. The type of the flesh. Now, can I just, and I'm not going back there, but if you read in chapter 16, when those lords of the Philistines come up to talk to Bathsheba, talk to Delilah, and said, enticing, make him tell you where his strength is at, enticing. And you know something I learned? They use the same plan over and over again. The flesh, are you listening now? The flesh, hey, they used enticement, which is Delilah, and the flesh will. What are you, hey, what do you think all these women are running around naked for, men?
They want to see us fall. The devil does. And I'm going to tell you, he's got enough sense to know that our own flesh is weaker against itself than we are against him, I believe. Are you listening now? But they used enticement, Delilah. Every time she said, "You mock me. You mock me. You mock me again." And every time they laid a trap for him. She said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And they come out of that trap, that ambush, if you please, and come out up on old Samson. And every time he'd just walk away from them. But you know something? They never one time detoured at all from their plan. Their strategy never changed. Tonight, you would think as God's people that eventually that we would learn that the flesh never changes. The flesh is the flesh is the flesh is the flesh. And it's lustful and it is never going to change. Those Philistines didn't. They had one to entice, and so have we. His name's the devil. They always want to lay an ambush. I know a little bit about them. I've got a picture of a boy that was sitting on my desk at the house that was killed in an ambush. We didn't know they were there, but they were laying in wait for us. Now I'm telling you, the flesh just creeps back into the dark corners of our heart and waits there for an opportunity to sin against God. And all it needs is a little enticement for every man. Hey, let no man say when I'm tempted of God, for God tempted and cannot be tempted, and neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's what? Drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. When that enticement comes, flesh comes out. Those Philistines come out. And their plan was never altered. Every time they work the same way. And the flesh will too. It'll work the same way on you and I. Now listen carefully. Not only is it contrary and the conflict is ongoing, but there's a captivity. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." There is such a thing as being captive. You know what happened to Samson? The Bible said, he said, "I'm just going to get up and go out as I did it all other times." But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. I'm on their way. And they put out his eyes. Now there's the first step to Christian. By the way, I want to stop right there. We left here on Wednesday night, and I told my wife on Wednesday night, I said, "Honey, you know what I saw tonight? I didn't know I was a prophet, but I saw a prophecy fulfilled in the house of God tonight." If you recall years ago, several years ago, I made this statement. I said, the first thing that will go in God's house is praise. Amen. Membo, right. And it's gone. I said, the second thing will go is prayer, and it's gone. I said, the third thing that will go is a liberty to preach, and it's gone. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Same thing I'm preaching to you right here this morning in this morning's hour. Oh, Samson wist not that the Spirit of the Lord was gone. But they got him, and the first thing they done was put out his eyes. I'm going to tell you, when captivity comes to a child of God, first thing they're going to lose their vision. Amen.
They're going to, hey, we're going to lose our vision. Somebody says, of people being saved, let's just forget about the people out there. Let's worry about us. There's nobody out there going to get saved until we get right with God. We might as well say, amen or oh me. And the problem is we've lost our vision, not of them being saved, but we have lost our vision of us being right with God. Of us having revival. Of us being holy. Of us being pure. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And we've lost that vision. I'll tell you, the flesh has put out our eyes until we cannot see where we really are in our relationship with God. They put out His eyes. The second thing they did, they brought Him down to Gaza. Now I want you to notice one word there. They brought Him down. He didn't go up to Gaza. He went down. And friend, any time the flesh gets advantage over us, we're going down. Not up, but down. Can you not see it? Can you not see it at Island Ford Baptist? Can you not see the direction that we're headed in? Wouldn't it be good to break out of it? Would it not be wonderful just to yield ourselves to God and come in here with enough liberty to pray and to preach, to praise God, to lift up our voice. I remember when we used to sing that song, When We See Christ. And I'd stand here and when that old tempter would be banished, boy, I'd throw that old tempter out and the church would just about have a spell. You can throw him out today in the song. And we sat there and looked at one another like calf looking at a new gate. There's other songs I could mention that we used to sing. Whoa, folks, that I'm telling you, they don't seem to stir the heart anymore. Preaching don't seem to stir our heart anymore. It's like that we're satisfied with where we are, and I believe the reason is we're living in a spirit. Did I not say prophecy again that there is such a thing as spiritual captivity? Israel, God brought them into captivity. Why? Because of their S-I-N sin. Amen. I'm not so sure that we're not living in spiritual depravity. Amen. Because of our sin. Amen. Well, do we really want God? Or are we satisfied living where we are? Oh, some of you have been out of joint a little bit. I'm going to tell you what you need to do is get bent back the other way. That's right. Some of you have got a handful of rocks in your pockets, and what you need to do is lay them down. That's right. Some of you have got a little bit of variance in your heart, or maybe even a little hatred in you. What you need to do is lay it down. May I tell you that, as I've already said, these 17 things mentioned here will ultimately destroy us. They will. They put out His eyes. Then they bound and took Him down to Gaza. He went down. And they bound Him with fetters of what? Not gold. Didn't bind Him with deity. That's what we need to be bound with, is deity. We need our hearts, come on now, bound to Jesus. Amen, that's right. Amen. We need to be yoked up in the yoke with deity. Wasn't so in Samson's life. He wasn't bound by silver. There's nothing mentioned there about redemption. I'm going to tell you what he's bound with. Brass. Fetters of brass, which is a type of judgment. And God finally judged Samson's sin, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm glad that He showed him mercy. He said, but then put him in the prison house. But it said there in the prison house, that something, a strange phenomenon took place. Samson's hair began to grow again. Now I'm going to tell you, his power was in that hair. Oh, when they come to get him, he might not be able to see. He had to be led to where it's going to make sport out of him. And I'm going to tell you, that young man, when he made a big mistake, when he put his hands between the pillars that held up that building, was old Samson looked up toward heaven with a mighty groan and said, Lord, let me revenge these Philistines in my eyes they put out. I'm going to tell you, God gave him that power back. The Bible said that he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. Amen. And he died there amongst those Philistines, amongst the flesh. Come on now, there's a spiritual application there. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that, hey, we're going to have to die. That flesh, the Philistines died, but I've got news for you. We're going to have to die. When he died, the Philistines died. Amen. The flesh died, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Samson died to self. Amen. Now I'm telling you that, hey, just like I mentioned the other night, Haman and Mordecai. Amen. Mordecai. Haman tried his best to kill old Mordecai, but he couldn't get it done. But God reversed the order, and oh, guess what? Haman was hanged on a gallows that he built for Mordecai. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you by the good grace of God, I lie not that the Holy Ghost and those nine fruits of the Spirit is able, ladies and gentlemen, to crucify the sin and the lust and the affections of it. Oh, yes, God's able to crucify us, to die to self, that we might live to God. Amen. It's amen right there. That's a fact. God help us. God help us. So there's a captivity there. And then, may I say this? Listen carefully. Samson used his liberty as an occasion to flesh. As an occasion to the flesh. The Bible says here that we're not to use this liberty as an occasion to the flesh. In other words, it's what I mentioned earlier in the message. These folks, Brother Jerome, you know it and I know it. They want to use their, hey, they want to, I'm free. Therefore, I can live how I want to live because whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed. I'm in bondage to no man. Wrong. We are bond servants of Christ. Oh, you better believe that's right. We're not in bondage to sin. Christ didn't die to make us, to give us liberty to sin. He gave us liberty that we may not sin. That's why Paul said that, hey, they're contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. How many times have you really thought? The thought struck you. Don't raise your hand up. How many times the thought really struck you that you might just be in a place where nobody's at, brothers and guys? You might get an opportunity to sin a little bit. Nobody never see it. Nobody never know it. But for some unsure, and the opportunity was there. The door was wide open. All you had to do was walk through the door, and that wonderful sin of the flesh and the satisfaction and the gratification of it was all yours. But something prevailed against you that forbid you to do that. You know, it's not what was that. It's who was that.
Yes, sir.
It was the Holy Ghost of God preventing you. Oh, I want to say hallelujah to God. I'm glad that we've got someone that prevents us from sinning against God in our own self and will prevail over that sin for us. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank God when Christ died and rose again from the grave, He justified you and I. We don't have to booze it up. We don't have to corral. We don't have to be whoremongers. We don't have to be adulterers or fornicators. You young people, you don't have to live in fornication. No. And if the Son will make you free, you're free indeed. Free from what? Free from that sin.
Yes, sir.
Has it ever occurred to you, the Bible said the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
But if the Son will make you free, you're free indeed from what? from those wages of sin.
Amen.
You ever see my body stretched out up there? And if I live long enough, you probably will. Don't you ever think Hall's dead?
Right,
no, sir, buddy. Because he lives, I can live also.
Right.
I will live also. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord for his unspeakable gift to the children of men. It was sin within our members. The depravity of our lives that's destroying us. Oh, but when Christ died on Calvary and justified us, he gave us the person of the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside of us. And contrary to what some believe, when I got it, I didn't speak in no other tongue than what I'm speaking in today. And I believe that's English. It may be broken English, but it's English at any rate.
Amen.
That's right. Now there is a sin had lost its power and control over our life. We cannot do the things that we would. But there's a conclusion to the matter. There's a conclusion of the works of the flesh. Chapter 5 and verse number 21. Of the which I tell you, Paul said before, and I also tell you in time past, that they which do such things
Amen.
Shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
These are sins that will shut you out of heaven.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, the only sin that will send somebody to heaven is unbelief. Can you tell me, can you persuade me that someone that is living that kind of a life, 17 sins
Amen.
Of that nature, can you convince me that they can live like that and be saved?
No.
You might convince somebody, you ain't going to convince me.
Right.
I don't believe it.
Right. Amen.
If you're living that kind of a life, you have shut yourself out of heaven. I don't care how many professions you've made.
Amen.
I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how often you go to church. How often you read your Bible. If you're guilty of those sins, you have shut yourself out of heaven. Write her down.
Amen.
That's the conclusion. That's what God said. I didn't say that. Paul's the man that said that. Verse number 21. It says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have that they which do such things shall not.
Amen.
Shall not
Amen.
Inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, your flesh is your greatest enemy. And what we've done, we have focused on everything else. Now listen to me carefully. The devil is an enemy. There's no question. But he's already done his dirty work to plunge us into depravity. But the fact of the matter is, you can't go any deeper than being depraved. But I'll tell you, as a saved person, that can hold you down. Those sins can hold you. That's not talking about the sin of unbelief. That's talking about sins of the flesh. And they're grievous in the nostrils of God. And the war rages on. Why can't I pray? The flesh won't let us. Why can't we praise? The flesh won't let us. Why can't we preach? The flesh won't let us. Why don't we have any joy? The flesh has robbed it from us.
Amen.
Why don't we have any power? The flesh has deprived us of it.
Amen.
I could go on and on. And I'm not pointing you out.
I'm pointing all of us out. Miss Hall looked at me last night. And I was honest, Brother Drone. She said, "Are you ready to preach tomorrow?" I said, "No. I don't know that I'm ever ready to preach."
Right.
"Well, I'm ready to preach, but I don't know that I'm ever ready." Does that make sense?
That's right.
"I'm ready to swing the bat. But I don't know if I'm going to hit the ball or not." It's not easy anymore. Can I say this? This flesh is lazy.
Amen.
It'll be like that man in Proverbs. If we're not careful, we'll let our flesh let nettles and briars grow up around us and break down our walls. Because we're too lazy to work spiritually. I'll never forget Brother Bob Stecker, the man I saved under preaching. He's called me two or three times. In fact, 20-some years, 30-some years. And every time he calls, he said, "Brother Gary, how are you doing spiritually?" "Well," most time I say, "well, I'm doing all right, Brother Bob. I'm still preaching, pastoring. I'm still doing all right." But sometimes the Lord turns my spiritual eyes on the inside. And I see things there that make me sick. Literally to the stage of puking. Somebody said, "You preacher?" "Oh yes. And if you look on the inside, you'll see them too."
Right.
Because I've got news for you. We all came out of that same little mold.
Amen.
We all came out of Adam's loins. Every one of us here today. God help us. He'll be our enemy till the day we die.
Amen.
Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Just looking. But I'm going to tell you, the flesh don't have to look anywhere. It don't have to go anywhere. You've got him right there all the time.
Yeah.
I remember I preached years ago a message entitled The Last Stronghold. You know where the last stronghold is at for sin? Right there in the mind of man. There's a real battle rages in that mind every day we live. A battle to do good and a battle to do evil. And they're both present. Now, I don't believe in that old story of the black dog and the white dog. Whichever one you yield to is the one that's going to win. If that black dog wins, we're all going to hell if we yield to it. I don't believe in that. But I'm going to tell you, there is a sin, corrupt nature about us that's living there. And it's in this flesh. You know, one thing we can do about it is yield. Like I said, that's our only responsibility. Yield to the Holy Ghost. And He'll give us the victory. Let's stand together.